America and China are now locked in a fierce contest for global supremacy. Neither country wants open conflict, but there is deep mistrust and suspicion on both sides. Miscalculations, especially over flashpoints like Taiwan, could trigger a broader and more dangerous escalation. Both powers claim they do not wish to force countries to choose sides. But in reality, each seeks to draw others closer into their respective orbits. This rivalry is already reshaping our world and will continue to define the geopolitical landscape for years to come. So we are in the midst of a messy transition globally. To what? Nobody can tell. America is stepping back from its traditional role as the guarantor of order and the world's policeman. But neither China nor any other country is willing or able to fill the vacuum. So nations are turning inward, prioritizing their own narrow interests. The once rising tide of global cooperation that defined the past decades is giving way to one of growing competition and distrust. And as a result, the world is becoming more fragmented and disorderly. Amidst these geopolitical realities, countries everywhere are re-examining their strategic assumptions and recalibrating their policies. In Europe, many were surprised by America's ambiguity on security guarantees for Ukraine and NATO and its uneven treatment of allies and partners. There is palpable anxiety over over-reliance on US military support, and European countries are fundamentally rethinking their defense postures. France has raised the idea of extending its nuclear umbrella to other European partners, for example. Poland has expressed interest in acquiring access to nuclear weapons, and Germany's Bundestag has voted to exempt defense spending from its fiscal rules. These are not minor shifts. They reflect a deeper and more fundamental realization in Europe that the post-Cold War peace dividend is over, and Europe must now reinvest in its own defense and resilience. In Asia, these developments are being watched just as closely. The former Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida once warned that Ukraine today may be East Asia tomorrow. That warning carries greater weight and urgency today. The abrupt recalibration in American support for Europe has prompted Asian countries to question the durability of America's commitment to the region. In his first trip to Asia, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, sought to reassure regional partners. He said, and I quote, "America first does not mean America alone," and that the U.S. would prioritize and shift to Asia in a way that is unprecedented and establish the deterrence necessary to prevent war. Even so, countries will take steps to strengthen their own capabilities, just in case help does not arrive in time. They will remember that President Obama once declared that U.S. was rebalancing towards Asia, but this stance was not sustained in subsequent U.S. administrations. So that's why in both Japan and South Korea, public debate over defense has intensified. There are calls to bolster deterrence, including through enhanced missile and air defenses, and even discussions once considered taboo about acquiring nuclear weapons. What was once unthinkable is now openly contemplated. So all this marks a major psychological shift across the region. And if these trends persist, it could reshape Asia's strategic balance in fundamental ways, leading to heightened military buildup, riskier deterrence postures, and a more brittle regional security environment. Alongside growing geopolitical unease, We are seeing growing turbulence in the international economic system. There is a well-known adage in international economics about the trilemma between economic interdependence, economic security, and geopolitical competition. Only two can coexist at the same time, but not all three. So after the end of the Cold War, geopolitical tensions subsided. Hence, countries could embrace interdependence while maintaining a broad sense of economic security. Today, geopolitical competition has returned with a vengeance. The major powers no longer feel economically secure. So something's got to give. And where economic interdependence was once seen as a virtue, it is now seen as a vulnerability. And therefore, governments are responding by localizing production, building up self-sufficiency, and reasserting greater control over critical supply chains and strategic industries. Economic instruments like tariffs, export controls, and sanctions are being used not for market purposes, but as instruments of statecraft to advance national interest. While these trends are not new, but they have reached a new intensity with the latest U.S. tariff moves. The U.S. has since postponed most of its reciprocal tariffs, but there is little comfort in this, because the current baseline tariff rates are still much higher than what they used to be, and the changes have already caused great uncertainty for businesses everywhere. No company can comfortably plan long-term investments while knowing that the tariff rates could be changed at a moment's notice. Moreover, the U.S. and China are entering a full-blown tariff trade war. The U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods are now 145%. And China has responded, as all of you know, with tariffs on U.S. goods at 125% and vowed to fight to the end. At these rates, trading between the two countries will just grind to a halt. And the pain will be felt not just by them, but by countries everywhere. For now, neither side wants to back down. There are no obvious off-ramps, no easy paths to de-escalate. And the deterioration of trade ties will accelerate the decoupling of the two economies. What we are witnessing is the remaking of the global economy, not as one integrated system, but increasingly as bifurcated ecosystems centered around America and China. And as economic ties fray, other aspects of the U.S.-China relationship will come under greater strain. Trust will erode further. Tensions will rise across multiple domains.